Brought to you on UK Health Radio, The Natural Beauty Show, an in-depth look at the beauty issues that affect you. Welcome back to The Natural Beauty Show. Now, today we're going to be talking about quite a controversial subject within the beauty industry, and that's clean beauty. If you mention the term clean beauty to anyone within the beauty industry, a debate usually commences about what it means, what it doesn't mean, the awful clean washing that exists, and what the future of the movement will be. Now, clean beauty products are actually something that I myself am a huge supporter of. Although I believe there's probably a better term to use to describe these types of products, in the main, having a title does help us all to distinguish products from each other better when we come to buy them. Clean beauty products are essentially products that exclude certain ingredients from their formulas on the basis of their questionable interaction with the human body. This list of ingredients include SLS, parabens, perfumes, PEGs, to name but a few, all of which are permitted for regulation within the UK, but all of which are known to potentially cause harm to human and environmental health. I started my own clean beauty journey back in 2016 when my mum was diagnosed with breast cancer. Before this time, I had zero regard for the ingredients within the products I was using on my face and body. All I was concerned about was the performance of the product. Would it plump, cleanse, tighten, gloss, or brighten the features of my whole body? I think this is a story shared by many of us. Until more recent times, the demand for more natural products has been relatively low in comparison to the masses of synthetically derived products that have rolled off the shelves. For me, it was reading the back of one of my mum's products in her bathroom when she was going through her treatment for cancer that sparked a worrying realisation that actually quite a few of the ingredients within many of the products we were using at that time weren't ingredients that I would actually choose to use on my body. And that is now the case for a significant and growing number of people. There is huge resistance to the clean beauty movement. But this is only really coming from within the industry itself. To everyday society, providing beauty products that work just as well but that don't pose any risk to the harm of the human body or the environment makes perfect sense. And we're going to find out today that there are brands out there facing off this resistance and catering for this growing demand with high-performing and safe product options. But with no clear definition being provided by regulators, it is being left to beauty brands themselves to provide clarity and guidance for consumers. This is a really big topic of growing interest, and you have your chance to get involved with the discussions via our Twitter page at Nat Elliott Life. Have your say. Tweet us at Nat Elliott Life and get involved with the show. Put your questions to the experts. Okay, so joining me now is Pontine Pouse, the founder of beauty brand Dr. Lip. Thank you very much for joining me today, Pontine. It's lovely to have you on the show. And I just wanted to start really by introducing your brand to our listeners. So could you just tell us a bit more about the sort of products you offer and a bit about the ethos behind Dr. Lip?
Oh, hi, Natalie. It's great to meet you here. So Dr. Lip is a brand I started 17 years ago. With one product, with one ingredient. Everybody thought it was really mad. We launched in Space NK nationwide. And after a few months, we were third bestseller out of 28 different lip products. Wow. The product was called the Original Nipple Balm for dry skin, luscious lips and glossy bits.
Lovely.
So, in essence, what I did is I took something out of the breastfeeding market and I introduced it into the beauty market because it was so good. And what happened was that I had a lot of eczema myself and a lot of very dry skin. And I couldn't find anything that works. I had particularly chapped lips, but I also had eczema patches above my eyelids and around my wrists and as well. And I just tried everything I could find on the market and really nothing worked until one day somebody said, why don't you try some nipple balm? And I was sold literally within a few hours. I could immediately feel that it was working. And so for years, I used to go around with this massive clunky tube. And people would be like, what's this? And I say, it's nipple balm. And people would be like, what? What do you mean it's nipple balm? And we'd have lots of fun and games and jokes for dinner parties. But it really worked. And I just thought, you know what? More people should know about this. I mean, you're not going to go into the beauty aisle, I mean, to the breastfeeding aisle to look for a product that's going to solve your dry skin problems. And so that was the impetus behind starting Dr. Lip. I then approached Nikki Kinnard at Spacing K, who's the founder of Spacing K. And I said, listen, I've got this crazy idea of introducing nipple balm into beauty. What do you think? And she loved the idea. And at the time, I think we were the only 100% natural brand in Space NK.
Yeah.
So we were a bit of a pioneer on the natural side and on the multi-use side, actually.
Yeah. And the multi-use element is just, well, it's steaming on now, isn't it? I mean, people really understand now, just because something's called a nipple balm doesn't mean to say you can't use it actually on your lips or anywhere else on your body. And that actually, you know, it, for years, I think so many beauty products have pulled the wool over so many consumers' eyes, because just because something's called a shampoo or a lip balm doesn't actually mean to say you can't use it somewhere else on the body. So, yeah, you've really pioneered that. It's fantastic.
Yeah. Well, this is exactly it. I mean, I think that there's a big intention between a lot of the big brands to sell as many SKUs as possible to the consumer. But really, something that's, what was it, the trainer at Space NK used to say to me, well, if it's good enough for my nipples, it's good enough for everywhere else.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more.
Right? And we also know that if it's so safe that babies can, you know, settle your nipple when you're breastfeeding and it doesn't cause any harm to the baby, then it's definitely going to not cause any harm to you. That's the validation and proof behind the ingredients, actually.
Yeah, sure. Okay. Well, I mean, the focus of the show is, of course, looking at clean beauty and this whole rise of this term and what it means to both the beauty industry and to consumers. One of the main points I'm actually been touching on within this show is that there's no real clear definition at the moment within the industry itself about what constitutes a clean beauty product. And it's actually being left down to the brands themselves to clarify this to their particular audience, their consumers, and to drive the education behind it. So what does the term clean beauty mean at Dr. Lip?
That is, I just to sort of start off, I think it's very confusing, this term. There is no official accreditation as to what it means. And so it's very confusing for consumers. So we try and focus on, you know, explaining to you that we're 100% natural. Rather than using the term clean, because I think it's confusing. But for us, what we're trying to do is we approach the whole concept of making products that have no allergens, that have no fossil fuels, have no there are no chemicals. There's a list of about 1,800 chemicals that are sort of bad for you that can be used in skincare sometimes, and we make sure we have none of those in there. So we're really sort of coming from two different angles, a sustainability angle, but also from a trying to make products that really have as few ingredients as possible with full transparency so that consumers can really see what's inside in an easy way, in an easy to understand way, so they can decide for themselves whether this is something that they want to expose their skin to or not.
Yeah.
People have different allergies, and I think it's more about informing people what's inside so people can make the decision for themselves.
Yeah. And why is it important to you? I mean, you know, you're the founder of Dr. Lip. Why is it, you know, that importance of naturally derived and 100% natural? What is it to you as an individual that makes that important?
Yeah, sure. Well, first of all, I think when we say 100% natural, that basically means that it's not, there's no fossil fuels. So everything comes from the earth. But fossil fuels meaning petroleum jelly, right?
Yeah.
And petroleum jelly has been buried underneath the ground for so many thousands of years or millions of years, and it's got a lot of nasty ingredients in it that humans do react badly to. Now, that's not to say that you can't get great products from fossil fuels, but it's very difficult to know which ones are the good ones and which ones are the bad ones for your skin. So it just makes it much, much easier for the consumer to understand, yes, here we've got no ingredients with no fossil fuels in our ingredients. Your skin is your biggest organ in your body, and we think of the skin as a barrier to the outside world, but it actually is extremely porous. So nowadays you can even get vitamin C patches, which are skin patches that you put on your skin to absorb the vitamin C or vitamins. So I think that's just a really good example to show that.
I'm sure the statistic is something like 60% of what you put onto your body can actually be absorbed into the bloodstream. So yeah, it's incredibly significant.
That's right. And what we find is that, especially with petroleum-derived ingredients, a lot of them can be endocrine disruptors. So they're making an imbalance to our hormones, and that's not very good. So if we can try and eliminate or try and sort of stay away, I mean, obviously you can't do anything 100% in the world, but I think our world has become so full of pollutants with plastics, which are big endocrine disruptors, estrogen, you know, the encourage the production of estrogen, which is cancerous. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to make things as natural as possible so that your body can thrive. And not have to fight more things, if you like.
Within the industry itself, you know, I've sort of felt that most of the resistance so far to these types of products is coming from beauty industry itself. Why do you think this is? Why would the beauty industry be so resistant to, you know, companies that are emerging that are basically recognising this demand from consumers for more natural products? Mm-hmm. And yet there's this humongous resistance, and it takes an awful lot of effort on the part of brands such as yourselves to really educate and push forward these types of products?
Well, I think there's a lot of big, large brands out there that are heavily invested in chemical-based ingredients. There's a lot of investment in there. So obviously then it's going to be very difficult and heavy for them to change. So you're going to get resistance there, and they have a lot of power within the beauty space. So there's also a lot of formulation scientists that will argue that the chemical-based products are actually good for you or actually fine for you. Mm-hmm. And I think that's partly education and the way they've been educated, because there is a very limited number of natural ingredients to make formulations with.
Yeah.
So when I work with my formulation scientists, they get very frustrated with me because they want to use chemical ingredients. And I'm like, no, we don't want to use any chemical ingredients. And that really limits their universe. So it's much more interesting for them to make products that have this much wider, with this much wider spectrum of ingredients that they can use. So you'll get resistance from that side too.
Yeah, sure. And what about regulation? Do you think regulation could catch up a little bit with, you know, there's an enormous growing amount of people that are really interested in the ingredients side. You know, for many decades, I think very, very few of us paid much attention to the ingredients side of a bottle or a container. Mm-hmm. And suddenly here we all are becoming much more educated, much more aware, much more conscious of what's going on to our skin. And so therefore, you know, there is this growing demand. Do you think regulation's caught up with that, or do you think it's got some way to go?
I'm not a big fan of regulation, because I think regulation, I think it's very hard to create a rule that works for all. And so I do think the best thing is for brands to communicate what they do and educate consumers, and for consumers to make their own decisions. And I think the power lies with the consumer to make choices. Yeah. And the most important, I think, is up to the retailers to start bringing in the choices into their chains, so the consumers can make their choices as to what they want to do. And, you know, different people are different and want different things.
Yeah, sure.
So I believe in that variety, actually.
Mm. Yeah, I couldn't agree more there. I mean, as long as people have all the education, all the information in front of them, it's very easy then, isn't it, to make a personal choice that's right for you and your family. Well, that's brilliant, Bronte. I really, really appreciate your input on that, actually. It's so important, I think, for the listeners of our show to understand, you know, there's so much choice out there now. And, you know, there are brands like yourselves that are really thinking ahead in the way in which you develop and formulate your products. I mean, the fact that you lean on, you know, very few ingredients for your products is brilliant. Do you have a rule that you'll only go up to so many ingredients?
Maximum 10 ingredients.
Lovely. I mean, that's amazing. I mean, that makes designing the packaging a bit easier as well, doesn't it? Not these long-winded ingredients lists.
But also, I noticed myself when I look at product and it's got 30 to 50 ingredients in it, the lettering becomes so small I can't read it, even if I'm wearing my glasses.
Yeah.
And I have no clue what I'm putting on my skin.
Yeah, sure. I mean, you actually touched on something when you said, you know, brands or the industry is only really concerned with, oh, well, there's only so much of this particular ingredient within our product. But you're right. You know, if a product has 35 ingredients within it, which is actually pretty normal, that's pretty standard, isn't it? And you're using 5 to 6 products a day, possibly more, you know, it's the cumulative effect of, you know, constantly bombarding your skin and your body with those types of ingredients that the clean beauty movement avoids. That's completely neglected, actually. I don't think it's at all considered. I mean, I actually did a study recently on myself, and I worked out that by the time I'd left the door in the morning, so from rising at, say, 7 a.m. to leaving the house at 10 a.m., I probably already used about 30 products on my body, including makeup and cosmetics. I mean, that's crazy, isn't it? You know, that's overload if I'm not being really conscious about the ingredients in there. So,
right.
Yeah. Well, I'm definitely going to check out your products anyway. Could you give us the URL for your website where our listeners can go?
Yes, of course. It's Dr. Lip, so it's drlip.com, drlip.com.
Lovely, brilliant. Well, hopefully people will check that out today and have a good look at the products you've got on offer. Thanks ever so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me, Natalie, and lovely to meet you.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
So, clean beauty, is it just a flash in the pan, or is this movement representing the future of the beauty and cosmetics industries? Do we want safer, greener and more relatable products? Well, joining me now is Patrick Boss, the CEO of Dr. Jackson Skincare, and he's brought along Chris Jurekec, who is his Chief Scientific Officer. Lovely to meet you both. Thank you for joining us. And I just wanted to start, if I can, Patrick, by just to you as the CEO of a company that really does focus on being a science-led, sustainable, but natural beauty company. What does a clean beauty product mean to you? What is that definition to you at Dr. Jackson's?
I think clean beauty nowadays is, of course, a buzzword that's being used by a lot of companies and from a marketing perspective. But I want to make clear that when the company was founded, this is in 2012, Dr. Jackson's was actually established based on how we see clean beauty nowadays. And, you know, the company was founded by Dr. Jackson's. Dr. Jackson's is a pharmacognosist. Basically, that is a study of natural medicine derived from plants and their traditional uses of it. So during his academic career, he had research positions at King's College and University of London. And he was actually also specialized in melanoma. Mm-hmm. And he advised also the NHS on how to use natural ingredients when it comes, you know, after chemotherapy and stuff like that. So he had a lot of knowledge when it comes to natural ingredients, I would say, and especially in medicinal plants. And I think this is, of course, in essence, is super key to our brand. But coming back to your question, I think clean beauty as a whole is seen as, you know, the use of clean ingredients. Mm-hmm. Now, what is clean? I think we have a very holistic approach to that. It's not so much about just not being harmful to the skin, but also what it does to the system, the body itself. You know, some ingredients can also have some effect on hormonal changes and stuff like that. So I think that's one aspect. The second thing is that, you know, a lot of consumers like to have a transparent labels on the product. This is another part that I think everybody within the clean beauty industry wants to show to their customers, that, you know, we have nothing to hide. This is what we are about. But I think when people think about clean beauty, they probably think about it needs to be organic. Mm-hmm. It needs to be natural. But not necessarily we believe that's the case. I think how we see natural is like, not all our products are 100% natural, because sure, what we drive is, you know, to have the best product possible, science backed. So making sure that whatever we're doing and put together in terms of ingredients, you know, they actually work. And they're, you know, nowadays creating a natural or a clean product is quite easy. You can just contact any manufacturer and say, I want 100% natural ingredients. Can you help me? But and all these ingredients have science behind it. Of course, they have certain features. But in the end, putting loads of stuff together not necessarily mean that it works. So I think we as a company build an additional layer. And that's why we have someone like Chris in our company to support us in along this journey. It's not, you know, I'm not a scientist. I run a company. So I need people in my team to really guide me along this journey. And I think an extra layer that we have as a company is that whoever ingredients that we're using is actually also then sustainably sourced. Yeah. So we dive really deep into where does it come from, making sure that, you know, we support the people in these areas around the world because we want to give back to the planet. And, you know, for example, one of our key ingredients is baobab. And which is a fantastic ingredient, and it basically comes back in most of our products, also because Dr. Jackson's is specialized, I would say, an expert in this specific product together with another ingredient called Gagilia. But we make sure that, you know, we're linked now to 1% for the planet, which is basically 1% of our turnover goes back to charity. And the charity we're supporting is the baobab community in Africa. So we want to make sure that whatever we're doing, we're still giving back to the world on top of having a fantastic product.
Yeah, fantastic. I just wanted to pick up on a few things you said there, actually, Patrick, if I can. You mentioned the Kigelia tree, also known as the sausage tree. Now, I'd never heard of this, and I'm quite up on my plants and you know, the holistic approach to what benefits they can have on the body. What on earth is that tree, and what benefits can it have for the body?
I think this is one for Chris to answer.
Yeah, sure. Okay, Chris, go ahead.
Hello, hi. So Kigelia africana, it's an amazing tree. It's native to sub-Saharan Africa. And traditionally, all parts of this plant have been used, but especially the pulp of Kigelia africana. Women in Africa used to use it and to apply it on the breast area because they noticed that it has the properties of firming the skin and increases skin's elasticity. So actually, as Patrick mentioned earlier, Dr. Jackson spent a lot of years focusing specifically on this plant, Kigelia africana. And then upon further research, he actually found compounds that later proved to be melanin inhibitors. So that's why he later on focused even more on melanoma. So this plant, Kigelia africana, is actually, as well as baobab, present throughout our range. It's one of our key ingredients. So on one hand, this plant has amazing properties in terms of skin firmness and elasticity, but also it's great for anti-hyperpigmentation properties, which is why it's present in almost all of our product range.
Yeah, excellent. And Chris, staying with you for a second, if we can. Mm-hmm. So I brought that up, that that new plant that was new to me, because mm-hmm. actually with this whole movement into products becoming greener, becoming safer, mm-hmm. becoming cleaner, consumers are going to have to start to become more aware of these exotic plants, aren't they? And it's a really interesting point because, you know, we're all now familiar with the terms parabens, SLS, mm-hmm. You know, all these kind of synthetically derived ingredients that are part of a formula. But how can a brand help a consumer to have a better understanding of the plants? What do you guys do to help that?
Right. So first thing I would say is that there has definitely been a transformation. I noticed the transformation in beauty industry overall, with an increasingly important role that ingredients play in our positioning of a successful brand. And I think we all noticed that maybe 15 or 20 years ago, people didn't really know what was in their products. So maybe I could even say that they didn't really care what was in their products, but that's absolutely not the case anymore. I think people and consumers are a lot more educated nowadays and aware of all the ingredient lists, and they actually look into it and they go online and they check, what is this ingredient? What does it do? So as Patrick mentioned earlier, transparency is one of the most important things for us. You know, we make sure that always consumers know exactly what is in the ingredient list. There are no hidden ingredients, or rather there aren't any ingredients that are used as umbrella terms, such as fragrance, and then you could have a bunch of other ingredients mm-hmm. within that. So I think step one is definitely transparency. And I don't think that you need to be a chemist to navigate through all this, because nowadays I think we're lucky that there are a lot more platforms where you can actually just search up cosmetic ingredients, and then you can get a lot of information on its toxicity level. So it's a lot more accessible nowadays, which is very good. This is a part of the movement of clean beauty industry.
Yeah. But, I mean, I use the Think Dirty app. That's just brilliant, isn't
yes.
it?
That's
a fantastic yeah. example of the industry really pulling together and helping the consumer, giving a platform mm-hmm. to brands to really explain themselves. So, yeah, that's excellent. And
I think Think Dirty is great. I think there's another one called the Good Face Project.
Good Face Project, yeah.
Okay, yeah, I've not heard of that one. Okay, well, I'll have to look up that one as well then. Yeah, I think Think Dirty is the one that people are mm-hmm. most identify with, but there are some other ones emerging as well, and they're a fantastic support. And you know, you're touching then upon, we don't really have to have, or consumers shouldn't have to have a scientific background to really understand yeah. their products. I think you're absolutely right with that. But there is an argument from the industry, from within the industry itself, where brands that tend to lean more into these kind of hidden ingredients or synthetically derived products are making a statement that clean beauty disregards science. As a scientist, what do you say to that?
Well, I think that's absolutely wrong, to put it simply. I don't think that clean beauty brands disregard science. And my point is, science is not exclusive. Science is not exclusive to any particular brand, to any particular skincare movement. And science is involved in every step of the way, from formulating the product to manufacturing. And if you want to make sure that your product is safe and that it's also effective, science must be involved in every step of the way. So just because a brand is clean beauty, it doesn't mean that science isn't involved in the process. And Dr. Jackson's is a really good example. You know, before this brand was even launched, Dr. Jackson's behind had so many years of scientific research. So it's actually what it stems from. So just saying that clean beauty brands disregard science, it's just not true, really.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I mentioned that because, I mean, obviously with mm-hmm. my listeners are aware that I have my own brand, Sacred, and with mm-hmm. my brand head on, you know, I actually entered into a bit of a kind of media spat with the founder of a brand that was trying to imply that of Sacred. And it's lovely, actually, oh. Dr. Jackson's to have, you know, mm-hmm. a scientist sat here saying, well, actually, that's not what we're about. And, yes. you know, it has to be science-led. It just
right.
has
so
to be.
So there isn't a hard line between clean beauty or natural beauty and yeah. science. And brands like ourselves is basically positioning itself at an intersection between clean and science. And I think, my personal opinion, that's the right direction to
yeah,
go
definitely.
Towards.
Yeah, I think it's lovely because what we're kind of getting back to is this lovely ancestral knowledge that we have of plants that we kind of lost our way with a little bit over the last few decades. And it's kind of going back to that idea of we have a huge knowledge of plants and nature and how it can support the human body function. And when science meets together with that, mm-hmm. something quite wonderful is created. So, Patrick, back to you if we can. Talking about the synthetically derived brands, why is it, you think, with your business head on, what reason do you think that brands would have to still use these ingredients that we know are questionable, that we know we have evidence to say that they are potentially harmful to human health? What do you think the reason that people are still using them?
I think the main thing is one is regulations. I think it comes down to that. They're still allowed to use these kind of ingredients. And I think, you know, our aim as a brand is to just get the standard of the industry to a level where maybe these you know, ingredients are actually banned. So I think that's one. But the second thing is always cost, right? Mm-hmm. I think we know that just creating a natural brand is not, you know, as cheap as a synthetic ingredient is a lot cheaper, right? So in order to have a mass market product, you know, I'm coming from another brand in the past where we also tried to be as natural as possible, but still had to use some sort of chemicals because, mm-hmm. you know, if you want to be a mass market product and be appealing in every single supermarket across the world and you have a retail price that's up to maybe £10, you can't really necessarily make that with all the natural ingredients. It's not yeah. possible. I think it just comes down to the industry and the, you know, what consumers want. And you know, if that shift actually changes and people are potentially willing to pay slightly more on an average, like, and you know, that's great. But on the other hand, you know, not everybody can afford, 100% natural product that works and is great and is fantastic and has all the credentials from sustainability point of view for £40. I think it all comes down to economics, to be honest.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, no, that makes real sense. Do you think then, though, if regulation was to catch up and it was to say, actually, there's a whole host of agreeable ingredients that are currently on the list that, yeah, we think we need to remove. So the knock-on effect of that, of course, is that the larger beauty conglomerates are unable to use them anymore. And so therefore, the more natural ingredients need to be more widely available. I think the overall effect there is that the prices of supply is going to just naturally come down as more there's more demand for it. So it's kind of a knock-on effect, really, isn't it? But we're at a very chicken and egg situation at the moment with the kind of clean and natural movement, in that something needs to give to start to shift mentality towards it.
Yeah, but I think there's also then a bigger question, is, you know, like as you said, if we go down that route and also from a production point of view, we should be able to do this, and we need to make sure that the whole, you know, the planet is not suffering because of this at the same time. It's a very difficult debate, I think. And
it is really difficult. Well, I just wanted to sort of end by thanking you both for joining me today. And could you just give our listeners the URL for Dr. Jackson's? Where can they find your products?
Of course, it's www.drjacksonskincare.com.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
As I previously mentioned, there's an awful lot of resistance to the clean beauty movement, which is coming from within the industry itself. And there are brands out there that claim that clean beauty isn't a thing, that it neglects science. It couldn't be further from the truth, of course. And we did invite quite a number of alternative brands to come and talk on the show, but unfortunately, none were available at this time. So all that's left to say is I believe, honestly, that there is room for every type of product within the market space. And it really comes down to what you as a consumer choose is right for your body or not. So hopefully you've been given some decent information today on the clean beauty products, and you can go away and do your research and decide for yourself. Have your say. Have your say. Have your say. Tweet us at Nat Elliott Life and get involved with the show. Put your questions to the experts. I'd like to introduce a new segment to the show now, where we're going to focus every week on one particular brand and give that brand a spotlight to tell us what they're about, what sort of products they offer to you, and where you can find them. And to kick things off, we're going to be talking to Nikita Mehta, the founder of the most amazing brand, Fable and Mane. Let's start by allowing you to tell us a bit about your brand, Fable and Mane. How did it come about?
Yeah, of course. Thank you for having me. And Fable and Mane is really our mission. Myself and my brother joined forces during lockdown to create a brand that celebrates our Indian roots and wisdom. And we wanted to literally return to our roots, because I had a period of hair loss during like a stressful period. And I remember how my grandma used to make these incredible oils in the kitchen and massage my hair with these oils and tell a story, like a fable of animals that could speak. So I kind of missed, when I was making those oils, I kind of missed that quality moment I had with my grandma and the story that she would tell me as a child. So myself and my brother, we kind of created, let's do a hair wellness brand. India celebrated for thick, beautiful hair. And our secret is basically hair oiling. So we wanted to take something we did as children and bring it in a modern way to the West, that could be celebrated as a ritual.
Yeah, lovely. That's really amazing. And how has your journey been so far? So you're quite a new brand then on the market, if you only sort of launched during the outbreak, really, during the pandemic.
Exactly. And everyone was at home. And it was great, because I think people found time for themselves and taking time for self-care rituals and really a bit more mindful. And I think that's exactly what our ethos is. You know, we are a hair wellness brand and we want to bring all the secrets from India for beauty and taking time for self-care. So it really was a blessing in disguise, you know, through e-commerce. And our oil is designed to be a leave-in. So you massage it into your hair overnight as a treatment and wash it out the next day. So I think people really enjoyed that, and the scent and just the whole sensorial experience.
Yeah, sure. So it's that kind of ritualistic approach to beauty as well, isn't it? It's that lovely me time, and I'm doing something over a longer period of time as well for my body. Yeah,
exactly. I can understand
that. Exactly. Yeah. And on your website, I mean, if you haven't been on the website, anyone listening, you should go on. Could you just give us the website URL?
Yeah, sure. It's fableandmaine.com. Yeah. And on social media, we're at fableandmaine on Instagram.
Yeah.
And it's just honestly our vision. We're launching a new website soon, actually, but it's just to invite you into like our home and India with all the colors. And we've got a tiger as our logo because we do give back and protect wild tigers too. So it's all about taking care of yourself, which I think is the most important thing for wellness.
Yeah, and it's lovely because you really do have that feeling of the fable element of what you're talking about, and that really comes across actually on your website. And I'm really interested in exploring the idea of, you know, this ancient roots, this ancient history that you're kind of bringing into the modern world. Is that something that you is familiar to your family, something that you've kept alive?
Yeah, definitely. So interestingly enough, Aesop's fables came from the Panch Tantra, which is in India, the original fable. So it was told from the Buddha via spoken words. People would pass on, like grandparents to children, stories through animals that could speak. And that was like the way of passing on wisdom. So in my research, I was like, wow, this is incredible. Fables came from India. And we've got the hair story, and let's put them together. And I remember just in our family, you know, my grandma would always tell me about the monkey and the mango tree. And she would tell me about all the, like, just little nuggets of wisdom. And we'd have a cup of chai. And it was just so sensorial. Like, everything was in the kitchen. We bonded. And that was our girly time. But it was, like, over a head massage. And it was so relaxing because, you know, we have our roots. That's why we believe beauty begins at the roots, and we've got these special plant roots like ashwagandha, turmeric, dashmul in our oil, because once you go back to your roots, that's where things grow. You know, we kind of treat a problem from the surface, especially in the beauty industry, it's everything's on the surface level, but we need to look what's underneath, because that's where the magic happens.
Yeah, sure. And you mentioned that it came about for you because you'd experienced a time of hair loss. I know that a lot of the listeners listening in, if anyone's suffering with thinning hair or hair loss, they'd be really interested to hear a bit more about your products. Which of your products would you recommend if someone is going through, you know, a stage of stress, and so they're experiencing hair thinning or even hormonal change from pregnancy or menopause? Which of your products would you recommend to people?
I would definitely say the hair oil, also our hair masks. What is interesting, people think, okay, if I have thin hair or falling hair, should I put oil? Surely it's heavy. So actually, we made our oil suitable for all hair types, and all hair textures. It's very lightweight, it absorbs quickly. And in Ayurveda, which is the ancient Indian, you know, form of well-being for 4,000 years, it does say that hydration and keeping your scalp hydrated, and the best way to do that is with oils, is a great way to combat hair loss, because our head is like, it's an energy center, and with our nerves, it's like an inverted tree. And if we massage it with the active massage daily, and put some oil on daily or weekly whenever before you wash it, that will really help control the hair fall, because it's got some great DHT blockers, which inhibits like the follicle from falling out.
Yeah,
but there's also a lot of more tips. Yeah, I would give, it's not just the products you use, it's also how you take care of your hair, like what tools are you using, of course drinking enough water, not brushing your hair when it's wet because it's at its most fragile, using a comb, never a brush. So in India we always use wooden combs or neem combs, wrapping your hair once it's wet in a like old cotton t-shirt or a special turban, not a towel. There's so many little things that will lead to breakage. And even when you sleep at night, bamboo, silk, a pillowcase, which helps because you don't have a lot of hair fall at night. So there are little things you can incorporate into your daily routine, just these small habits. You don't have to spend a lot of money or anything, but that can really help with hair loss, because I know personally it can affect confidence, you know, when you have chunks of hair falling out in the shower.
I mean, we all experience obviously the sort of natural daily hair loss, but if it becomes more than that, it's really worrying, isn't it? You get really nervous about it.
Exactly.
Yeah, definitely.
And it's normal. Our hair changes with seasons, you know, so I during this time I am experiencing, you know, hair fall too. So it's just your hair sheds, you know, like a tree.
Yeah.
And then it grows back.
I love that. I love that connection to nature. It's beautiful. So what next for your brand? You just mentioned that you're starting to redevelop your website, but what next? Have you got any new products in the lineup?
Yes. Yeah, so we've just launched a scalp collection for people with like itchy, flaky scalp. So we've got a beautiful wild ginger scalp scrub. We will expand and go more into wellness and perhaps even a range just for specifically for hair loss. So like using ingredients like rice water and DIY remedies. So super excited. So I think we'll definitely stick to hair and then perhaps go into body oils, because that's a really great oils. We've just become like the third best-selling hair oil in like Sephora in the US and the UK. So it's just incredible how much like the potency of our oil and the reviews that we're getting.
What a fantastic brand with such a lovely story to tell behind it as well. That website again is www.fablemaine.com. Well, that's it for today's show. Join me again next week when we will be looking into women within the beauty industry. And we've got some quite exciting guests on. We have Rowena Bird, one of the founding partners of Lush. Anna Brightman's joining us from the beauty brand Upcircle Beauty, and Nikita Mehta will be back to talk to us a bit more about how she felt emerging into the beauty market. And finally, we're joined by Trishna Daswani, the founder of Kohl Creatives, a brand with a real heart. Brought to you on UK Health Radio, The Natural Beauty Show, an in-depth look at the beauty issues that affect you.